The themes that were part of the rally day activities during the social hall are part of our life in worship today, the acted out scripture and the opening dance and procession, and more will come. So in addition to the stories around Jesus' baptism, the other scripture passage for today comes from the very beginning of the Bible, from Genesis chapter 1, the first 5 verses. Listen to God's word today. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep. While a wind, a breath from God, swept over the face of the waters. And then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness God called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. May God bless the reading and the hearing of God's word, that it will continue to sustain us this day and always. Amen. The first book of the Bible, the first words of the first book of the Bible, talk about the first of all things, creation. But let's be clear about this. Genesis is not about particularities and precision. Genesis is about profession and poetry. In the beginning, back then, whenever then was, is not going to be clearly described for us. It will be spoken about in a language that's not scientific and measurable, but simply a language that is poetic and is, in some ways, negative. It will speak about that time of potential unrealized, about forms unfashioned, about a space that is empty and desolate and going nowhere fast. But something sets it in motion. Now, whether you want science or faith to take a stab at describing what happened next, both of them are going to agree that something happened. And so the poetic language that we use is this. At that beginning of God's creating everything, the universe was formless and void, and darkness reigned. And then God said, "Let there be light." Light. Something that lets you see instead of groping in the dark. But it's more than that. Light literally pushes back the dark boundaries of chaos so that something else can now exist. Something else can now come to be. A light that shines on an empty canvas allows a work of art then to be painted. A light that shines on a potter's wheel allows the clay to be gathered and shaped and formed into beautiful vessels. Light is that primordial power that sustains life and nurtures it, as opposed to darkness and chaos that destroys life and negates it. Light is that symbol of hope and potentiality and possibility, taking the place of something that is captive to fear and despair. So the first thing that happened back then, at the beginning of all things, was when God said, "Let there be light." Side comment. The Jewish tradition is that every day begins with the previous evening, that darkness starts each new day. Why is that? Well, largely because of Genesis and its poetry. Because the question is, what existed first? And by Genesis, what existed first was actually darkness. Darkness, though, a place where God was still present. Darkness as a place out of which God could call things into being. So with God, darkness yielded to light. Evening yielded to day, one day, And God saw that it was good. What is the darkness in your own life? Remembering that God is present there as well. What is your evening? And what does God's blessed morning look like for you? What is God calling you toward as God's light dawns within you and shines upon you? Think about those things. Next comment. The darkness is never fully gone. Scripture says, God separated light from dark. God made a space in which creation can occur, a space in which order could prevail over chaos. But darkness is only restrained. It's not destroyed. And so it's important to name the darkness wherever its shadows creep into our world. That was true on the first day of all time. That remains true this day. I'm enjoying teaching a class at Pittsburgh Seminary on preaching and ethics. And the students and I have been reading some examples of sermons from great preachers, Harry Emerson Fosdick, Martin Luther King, Jeremiah Wright. It's a humbling thing as a preacher to read the challenging words of these men of God. On Armistice Day, 1933, tombs to the unknown soldier were being dedicated all over the world as post-World War I celebrations. And Fosdick went into the pulpit on that day and he said, "I renounce war. I renounce war because of what it does to our own men. I watched them coming gassed from the frontline trenches. I saw the long hospital trains filled with their mutilated bodies. I remember the maimed and ruined men for whom the war is not yet over. I renounce war because of what it compels us to do to our enemies, bombing their mothers in the villages, starving their children. I renounce war for its consequences, the hatreds it arouses, the lies it lives on and propagates. To the unknown soldier, I make a pledge to never sanction or support another war." On the Sunday before Easter, the last Sunday he would preach in 1968, Dr. King stepped into the pulpit. And he said, "Vanity asks the question, is it popular? Conscience asks the question, is it right? There comes a time when one must take the position that is neither safe nor politic nor popular, but one must do it because conscience tells us it is right. And I believe this day there is a need for all people of goodwill to come with a massive act of conscience and say in the words of the old Negro spiritual, 'We ain't going to study war no more. This is the challenge facing modern man.'" And on the Sunday after 9/11, Jeremiah Wright stood in the pulpit and he said, "We have got to change the way we've been doing things. We can't just keep messing over people and thinking that can't nobody do nothing about it. They have shown us that they can and they will. Rather than figure out who we're going to declare war on, maybe we need to figure out how we're going to declare war on racism. Maybe we need to declare war on injustice. Maybe we need to declare war on greed. This is the time for self-examination. This is the time for social transformation." Light. Light pushing back darkness is both a creative act and an assertive act. God said, "Let there be light instead of chaos. Let there be life instead of void and death." Fosdick and King and Wright remind us that as preachers and as congregations alike, we are still in the business of calling forth light that will push back the shadowy realm of darkness. Creation didn't end on the seventh day. God rested, but only long enough that we might be invited into the ongoing work of creation. And so here we are in the early days of a new year. It's Epiphany Sunday. It's a time to celebrate many things, including God's creation long ago and a new creation that becomes possible through the sending of God's Son as the light of the world. We stand in Christ's light. But if we are standing still and if we are passive, then all we're doing is casting shadows. And our darkness, our shadows, risk diminishing the light of Christ. If the first act of all creation was a word, then shouldn't our first acts every day involve words as well? Using our voices to call forth light, to push back darkness, to create a space for God's Spirit to move and to act, to heal and to redeem. To be silent is no longer an option, for silence only allows other voices to move over the face of the waters and call forth their own versions of what creation should be. And too many of those voices are comfortable with the language of militarism, of blaming the poor for being poor, of whitewashed patriotism trying to cover a multitude of national sins. The first act of creation was God speaking forth light. And then when Christ was baptized, the heavens were split, and once again a voice shone down and spoke down and said, "This is my Son, the Beloved One. Listen to Him." And in the Acts passage that was acted out earlier, when those believers were baptized by Paul, when they fully understood what it meant to walk in the light of Christ, by God's creative Holy Spirit, their first acts were words. They spoke, they prophesied, they testified to all who would listen. So think about it. Creation does not arise from a place of moderation. Creation is no middle of the road, let's play it safe kind of thing. There is always a clarity to creation. Light as opposed to darkness. Baptism, either you're in the water or you're not. Communion, either you take the bread offered or not. Either you see it as a shared loaf or not. Either you stand humbly before others or not. We commonly in this church choose to come forward to receive the sacrament of communion because that makes it a physical profession. And it's an act built not of self-worth, not of privilege. It's publicly acknowledging that we are willing to receive humbly this gift that God has given to us freely in Christ. It's our own let there be light moment. And so let us say what needs to be said. Let us remember our baptisms. Let us share the meal that Christ provides where He is both host and substance. And let us call forth light. For there is evening and there is morning, a new day for all. Thanks be to God. Amen.